I'm Mark Bayshore. Glad you could join us today. This week at the state capitol, the Michigan House of Representatives passed a far-reaching measure aimed at regulating medical marijuana in the state. Our first guest voted for that measure. Democrat Andy Shore represents much of Lansing at the House in his role as 68th District Representative. He joins us now to discuss medical marijuana and other important Michigan business. Thanks for joining us, Andy.
Thanks for having me, Mark. This is definitely the best radio interview with the wonderful musicians here.
This is quite an accompaniment you got here today. So yesterday, before we get to medical marijuana, Governor Snyder yesterday said he would ask the legislature to provide $6 million to the city of Flint, approve $6 million in revenue, state revenue for the city of Flint to help cover the costs of reconnecting with Detroit's water supply. Do you think would you vote for or against that appropriation?
I anticipate voting for that. This is a pretty serious public health emergency. We can't have the residents of Flint drinking water that's got lead in it. We have schools that are tested with high level contents of lead, and we need to fix this. It needs to be immediate. I'm just waiting to see what the proposal is for where the money's going to come from.
What else do you make of the larger situation and how this thing unfolded?
It's a pretty bad situation. I mean, you had an emergency manager come in and take over in Flint and make this change on his own. And now we've got big problems because of the change. So I think the state has serious responsibility here. Some of the conversation is how much should the state pay to change this? The city, under the governor's plan, is responsible for $2 million. And that's a lot of money that the city's going to have to pay when they had an independent emergency manager come in and make this change. So I think there are a lot of pieces of this that we need to be digging into, but the most immediate is getting the change made and making sure that the residents there are safe and in the meantime, ensuring they have filters and other things.
Just for context, I'll point out that the most recent assessment of the reasons for this that I read yesterday suggests that the water leaving the Flint water plant is safe, at least as far as lead content goes, but the Free Press writes that experts believe its chemical composition causes corrosion in pipes and plumbing fixtures that do contain lead, right, which leads to lead coming out of residential and business faucets. We'll just add that for a little bit of context here. But you alluded to the emergency manager involvement here. This incident has drawn attention to Flint's years of emergency management by state-appointed managers. And earlier this week, Congressman Dan Kildee of Flint told our listeners that he thinks there is justification for an emergency manager statute in Michigan, but with some caveats. I'd like to hear your comments about what he said after that. Here's Congressman Dan Kildee.
And so they look at the balance sheet sustainability of a city, but not the actual sustainability of the city as a community. And to me, it just implies that these cities, all they need is somebody else, some adult, to come in and sort of take over, when the fact that these cities are in such trouble is partly because the state of Michigan, for example, over the last decade, cut $50 million of direct support to the city of Flint.
Any thoughts on that?
Well, I agree with the congressman. Revenue sharing has been cut over the last 10 years at least. That's due to a variety of factors. The state's had budget difficulties and they've cut the locals, even though there have been guarantees made. We've been paying the locals less. And now we've got cities like Flint and Detroit and others that have had problems because you've got all kinds of fiscal obligations, pensions and other things. And they're not getting the support they expect from the state. So you're seeing big problems that lead to emergency managers. That law was changed not too long ago, and now we've got both Detroit and Flint where we see emergency managers that have caused some issues. In Detroit, we've got the schools that are having serious problems, and they want, the state's being asked for $400-something million to fix the problems there. And that's something that may or may not come up over the next few months, but more immediately, we've got a public health emergency in Flint. So there's definitely some issues with that law.
Do you agree with Congressman Kildee that there is still justification for some kind of emergency manager statute?
There has always been some kind of a justification. Even before this emergency manager, we had emergency fiscal managers where they would come in and look at the books. I think there is justification for a state review, for someone to come in and help, or even balance the books for communities. It's a more a matter of what can that manager do? Can they eliminate contracts? Can they sell public utilities? Can they make the changes like was made in Flint? I think the law has allowed those managers to go too far. Mm. We in the past have tried amendments to limit the pay of these managers. You have managers that are making hundreds of thousands of dollars in salary. I think it needs to be reined in a little bit. There is a utility and a need when you have communities that are in such severe deficit, but I think that law does need to be reined in, and I think that's why many of the Democrats in the House opposed it when it was first passed before I was there.
Democratic State Representative Andy Shore of Lansing is our guest on WKAR's Current State. You voted for a set of three proposals this week, all of which are aimed at regulating medical marijuana here in Michigan. And I'll tick through them real quickly here. One would establish sales and excise taxes. One would allow the sale of non-smokable forms of medical marijuana. And the third would establish tracking of medical marijuana from seed to sale. Why did you support these bills?
Well, in the first bill, there was a whole lot more than just the taxation. One of the big issues we have here in Lansing is that we've got dispensaries that have been popping up. They're not really legal, and the city doesn't feel they have the authority to regulate them. In the first bill, it created a regulatory structure for dispensaries, those places where you can go to get it, to purchase the marijuana under the existing medical marijuana law. That was created, and then a tax was put on. And I think that that bill, especially in Lansing, will be tremendously helpful because now the city can come in and create regulations. We've got ordinances on the book, which will now become effective. And that's very important because we've seen so many issues here in Lansing without the city being able to regulate. The tax, it's a 3% tax on the sale of marijuana. I'm not a huge fan of that just because we don't tax medicine. We tax over-the-counter drugs face a sales tax, but they don't have any specific excise tax above that. This will be one of the first times we're really taxing a medical product, and that makes me uncomfortable. But compromise is what we do in the legislature when you're making the sausage. And that money from the 3% is going to go to local governments because of the services that are going to be needed after the fact, police enforcement, things like that.
Democratic leader Tim Grimmel ended up not voting for the main bill,
right,
for the reason that you allude to.
Right. He and a few others said that that they just couldn't get past taxing a medical drug. There was also a trigger they put in a late substitute, which said that if recreational marijuana is legalized, then the tax on medical marijuana will go away. So the 3% will go away if regular marijuana, recreational marijuana, is legalized. Mm. So it's kind of a precursor to, if that happens, then we won't be taxing the drug anymore.
Very interesting. Will we see fewer dispensaries in Lansing as a result of this bill, do you think?
We could. We're not supposed to have dispensaries. The Supreme Court said that under the originally initiated law, dispensaries are not part of it. So we could. The city council will now be able to work with the neighborhoods and others and the mayor to decide, how many we should have total, how many we should have in each area, the density, things like that, under zoning, which they have not been able to do in the past.
We have had guests on this program from the city of Lansing complaining about the density,
yeah,
the number of dispensaries in their parts of town. You're the sponsor of a gun-free zones bill in the House. What would it do?
Well, my bill, under current law for the last, 10 or 12 years, people are not allowed to concealed carry guns in what are called gun-free zones. So schools, churches, bars, restaurants, sensitive areas. But when that law was passed, they did not reference open carry. So my bill would add open carry to the current concealed carry prohibition. So we have people who are going into schools and kids' plays and things like that at schools with guns on their hips or, long-arm guns on their back. And that's legal under the law, under the courts. And my bill would make gun-free zones truly gun-free, so you wouldn't have the legal right to openly carry. And that's an issue that's come up in several schools recently. Although there are alternative proposals such as Senator Green has a bill in the Senate that would trade concealed carry for open carry. So we'll see something moving, hopefully.
The Michigan Tax Commission ruled about 6 weeks back that NIO Wave's $500,000 tax exemption from the city of Lansing would stand, despite what many consider to be its failed attempt to improve the look of its facility in the Walnut neighborhood. You launched an effort to amend state statute because of this. Does your proposal have legs, or do you think it's dead?
It does, actually. It's going to get a hearing in 2 weeks. Almost every local tax abatement has a revocation clause. If the city feels that the contract was not honored, they can revoke the abatement. And this one didn't have it, so my bill would add it, and it seems it's going to get a hearing.
Very good. We want to thank State Rep. Andy Shore of Lansing for being here today and updating us on all kinds of activity at the state capitol. Andy, thanks.
Thanks, Mark.
Appreciate it.